Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 101, the third paragraph, starting with, "So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking." Reading through that one paragraph, ending with, "Seem like tempting providence, but it isn't." We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Joanne L., readers of the text, Kara L., Dana P., and Deb E. The reference number for Monday, August 21st, is 20,556. That's 20556. And for this morning, Tuesday, August 22nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,558. That's 20558. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you so much, everyone, for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dawn. Thanks for your service today. And thank you for everybody on the line. I am Joanne L., recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and any other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and I pass. Have a good meeting.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 101, the third paragraph. So our rule is to not avoid a place where there is drinking, reading through one paragraph ending seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. And I will now ask Kara L. to begin reading for us.
Good morning, Don. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there's drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, even plain old whoopee parties. To a person who has had experience with an alcoholic, this may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and we're moving through some paragraphs now. There's I turn to these pages a lot. When I am going somewhere that I am worried about, and it could even be not only that, you know, thankfully today I don't worry about the food anymore because I have food neutrality, because I worked these steps and asked my higher power and everything what to do. But, you know, sometimes even visiting family or a situation that I'm a little worried about emotional sobriety in, I go back and I read these pages because these pages tell me that if I have a legitimate reason for being there. So what is my reason for being there? Yes, it's a legitimate reason, right? And then it's going to tell me like, okay, well, what does that mean? And what does that look like? And then what can I do while I'm there? You know, and so for me today, it's like, okay, if I am truly recovered, then there's no place I can't go. And there's no place I can't be of service. And so I have to work every single day to keep that conscious contact with a power greater than myself so I can maintain a recovered state. And I don't maintain that. My higher power does. And so what is my job? My job is to get up when I don't want to get up and do my morning routine. My job is to take on sponsees. My job is to be of service in meetings. My job is to go into places that normally I shouldn't be able to go and be of service. Those are my jobs today. And then I say, God, I don't know how to do this. I trust that you can give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And then I just go with that today. And, you know, I get the gift of food neutrality. I get the gift of being service. I get the gift of taking situations that used to baffle me and being able to move through them fairly easily. Those are the gifts I get today. So I'm so excited to hear from everybody else today and their experience, strength, and hope with this paragraph. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Letty G.
Letty G.
Regina.
And Regina.
Deb E.
And Deb E.
Rella R.
Rella R. Okay, let's get started with that lineup. I have Letty G., Deb E., Regina, and if you could give me your initial, and Rella R. So Letty G., please get us started.
Hi, this is Letty G. from Nevada. What I'm getting from this paragraph is that we need to have a legitimate reason for being there. For me, the legitimate reason would be to be present, because when I attended those functions in the past, my mind was always around what people were thinking of me because I always had the weight fluctuation. I never really ate in front of other people the way I wanted to, but I certainly did when I got home. And for me, it's so freeing now that when I go to those functions, I am being present. I am being of service to people in any way that I can be. And the people are finally getting to know the real Letty, because for so many years, they really didn't know the real Letty. And food is not a problem there at all. And the freedom that I have now is just unbelievable. It is a miracle for me. Let me think here. What else? Basically, in a nutshell, that's what it is for me. And I appreciate sharing, and I'm not big on words. So thank you so much for taking my share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Letty G. from Nevada. Deb E., please share with us, followed by Regina. Star one, hey, Debbie.
Sorry for that delay. No
worries.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, this is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I remember, like, right in the beginning, when I was first starting to work the steps and getting abstinent, I couldn't have my binge foods around. Like, I had to, it was much simpler then, you know, I didn't have any kids yet, and so for a short period of time, I just didn't have anything at home. And I don't remember if I was avoiding situations that had food in them, but it didn't take too long to be able to just go anywhere and be anywhere and feel safe. And for me, my experience was that I wouldn't eat. Like, I couldn't have anyone see me eat. So I'd be out at a function where there were, you know, any kind of food, I would just like avoid it. And of course, I wasn't present at all with the people who were there because I was just thinking about the food that I wasn't eating and thinking about the binge I was going to have when I got home. And then as soon as I got home, I would just binge and binge. And it's so nice to actually enjoy social social occasions now. To be able to, like, I remember when I first started to, like, make the switch, I'd be like, oh, I can actually just talk to people, and I'm not looking at what everyone's eating. I'm not thinking about what I'm not eating or what I am eating or what I can eat. And it took me many more years to be able to just, like, eat in front of anybody without even thinking twice about it. And that's been a whole other freedom as well. And so for me, like, it's a real test of this program. Like, I need to be able to take this with me everywhere. I need to be able to live this way no matter where I am. You know, it doesn't work for me if it only works in a bubble. I need to be able to live my life, and I feel like I've been blessed with that. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Regina, please share with us, followed by Rella R.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Regina H. I am a compulsive overeater. And just for today, wherever I go, I take my recovery with me. When I show up today, I show up as me, Regina. I used to have masks on and things like that, but today I'm not afraid to go out and be in a public place. So I have the desire to be alive today and living. And God gave me my life back. So I carry the message wherever I go because I sit at the tables of recovery with expectation. So the promises are coming true for me today. And I just want to thank everybody on this line here for being here today because you're saving my life. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Regina H. Rella R., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from if you'd like.
Hi, this is Rella R., recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you for your lead and thank you for all your shares. I have nothing original to add except that it's so confidence-inducing to read this. It's like a shot of, you can do this. It's an attaboy. That when I'm in a recovered place and I'm in a good place with God and my fellow man and myself, then I am free of the servitude. The food, which is where I'm at when I'm not in a recovered place. So it's a boost, but it's also for me a reminder that when I do go to somewhere, and it's most places where there are going to be temptations, it's a time to sort of get good, do a quick mental tune-up, and see where I am standing vis-a-vis God, myself, my fellows. And I've also, because I'm an introvert, and very often the focus, I've read that the difference between an introvert and extrovert is like, is an introvert thinks, how will this affect me? And extroverts think, how will I affect this? So I need to do that little bit of turnaround and say, oh, how will I protect myself? And how am I going to this and that? How can I be of service? And I notice that I can be of much more wholesome service when I'm not in a place of fear and not a place of craving. So, and I also realized that after I'm out of the situation, I need to do a quick tune-up. I think someone mentioned that sometimes I can be really great or I'm in the place of temptation and have to be there. There's a good reason why I'm there, but when I leave, I need to do a quick review of, okay, was I triggered by something? How am I feeling right now? Because I don't want to have to go home and do what I didn't do at the event that I had to be at. So very grateful for this spiritual program, and thank you all for listening. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rella R. Well, we're talking about page 101 today in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that third paragraph. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking through one paragraph ending, seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. So I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Wendy M.
Annette M.
Wendy M. And Annette M.
M, yeah.
And
Mary,
was there a
C.
gentleman's voice there?
Robert.
I'm having a little problems hearing you. If there's some adjustment you could make, perhaps?
Rob H.
Rob H. Perfect. Thank you so much. And who Mary else
C.
did I hear?
Mary C.
Okay. I have Wendy M., Annette M., Rob H., Mary C. Did I miss someone? Okay. Let's go ahead with that lineup. Wendy M., please get us started, followed by Annette M.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Don, for your service. And everyone on the line, Wendy M., recovering in Boulder, Colorado. And, you know, I'm 3 weeks, you know, neutral with the food. And it's like you're in another world. You know, 2 years in relapse and three weeks, you know, and the power of God begins to flow. God for that. I want to look at the word legitimate. What comes to mind is, how can I justify something to be legitimate, right? Where are the loopholes around deciding if it's legitimate or not? Because my mind lies, right? How can I cut corners? How can I not make 3 phone calls, but maybe 2.5, if that's even possible? So how can I get away with stuff? That's what I get from the word legitimate. I just love that they use that word, right? Because we're addicts. So it's like, as long as it's legitimate, you know, and it's like, well, it's pretty legitimate, right? Because I want to get my way and I want what I want. So in this program, what I'm experiencing is this honesty, this absolute honesty, which gives me absolute freedom, right? And as somebody said, you go to the occasion. For me, I've already had my abstinent meal, so it's not even a question. And for whatever reason, I'll go to an occasion, not often, and I don't have any interest in any of the food, right? And it says to us, we need to get out of the way, we need to be of service. You know, the powerful words of, how are you? You know, how are you? Not me, how are you? What can I do to be helpful, that kind of a thing, rather than thinking, am I too fat for the party or too thin or whatever. And I also want to say that I'll be driving my son on a 4-day trip to his college, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, a legitimate reason to go to a restaurant. No, you know, God defines legitimacy. God tells me that's itchy and scratchy. That's not going to work. Well, what's going to work, God? You're going to take a huge cooler. You're going to pack all your food, and food won't be an issue. You will be at the restaurant with your family, and you will be there, you know, talking to my son, listening to my son, being a parent. You know, it's an amazing thing, the kind of freedom we get when I pack all of my food for 4 days. It absolutely can happen. It is not difficult at all. It's just not. Because, you know, and the legitimate reason for being there, he's going to college. That's, God says, that's legitimate. But bring your food. Because it can't be about you. And it can't be about being free, 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 free from those thoughts when we're in a restaurant and I'm, you know, staring at their food. I get to be free from that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Annette M., please share with us, followed by Rob H.
Hi, it's Annette M. from Toronto, Canada, on the East Coast. I just wanted to share, the bottom line for me when I hear this is, okay, God, what is it that you want me to give? It just is a very clear boundary. When I go into social situations, whether there's food or not, anything that can be a trigger, you know, because it, you know, my old way of being is always, what am I going to get from this? How do I look good? It's all about me, 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 me. And if I just say, okay, this God, what do I give? How can I contribute? then I know I'm in a recovered state. When I'm thinking that way, I know that God is with me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Annette M. from Canada. Rob H., please share with us, followed by Mary C., and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names. If you happen to be just joining us, we are on page 101, talking about the third paragraph. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking, reading through that one paragraph only today. Rob H., please share with us.
Thank you. Rob H., compulsive reader. Nothing new. I'm not going to say anything new. I just wanted to say my sponsor told me to focus on the people when I go to different events and parties and stuff instead of the food. And, that pretty much always works. I did just go to a family gathering, and, I don't think I've been, I sort of question my abstinence sometimes, but when I went, and most of the party, I tried to be helpful to others, but I think at one point I made a joke, and it made some people laugh, but it was, it wasn't really, I don't know that it was necessarily helpful or useful, so I guess that's it. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you so much, Rob H. Mary C., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take more names.
Hi, Mary C., compulsive overeater from Ohio. And, well, this paragraph really spoke to me this morning, because this past weekend I had three events I had to go to. And in the past, I would have just ate my way through all three, not focusing on anything that was happening around me, and just the food. But I had a great time at all my events. I didn't focus on the food. I focused on the events, the people, and having fun. And what a difference. It's a gift. It's a gift God has given to us, the gift of abstinence and refraining from the food and being food neutral. It, for the first time, I'm able to enjoy myself and not feel guilty when I leave, or else not eat during the event, but then eat after the event on my way home. And the other thing is I can do now very easily, which I could never do before, is say a simple no thank you. And that was hard for me to do. I could never say no thank you. I always took it. So now I'm able to say no thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary C. All right. Thank you so much for that lovely share with us. And I am going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Fran R.
Rena. There was a person whose initial was R. Sam, was it Sam R?
Fran R.
Fran R, okay. And who else did I miss?
Rena.
Annabelle.
I heard Annabelle. Richard. I heard Richard. And I'll get your initial, Richard.
S.
All right. Richard S. Okay, Fran R, Richard S. And two more names.
Annabelle Z.
Was there Annabelle Z?
Yes, Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z. And who was right after Annabelle Z?
Penny C.
Penny C. Penny C. And Patricia, we'll put you on if we have time for you.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much. So I have Fran R., Richard S., Annabelle Z., Penny C., and Patricia P. Fran R., please share with us.
Yes. Good morning, all. This is Fran R. from California. And this paragraph, for just like everyone sharing, is so powerful. And I went to an event last night. It was a birthday party of a friend of mine, 80 years old, and I just couldn't miss it. So I am very selective where I go, what I participate in. But one thing I do, and it works for me, my life career for most years, I was a catering manager in large hotels, resorts, in the hospitality field. And I can recall that invariably I would get phone calls, just a few, for almost every event. But I did events for about 500 people. Well, they would say, I'm diabetic or I have a health condition. Can I request a certain food? And I said, absolutely, this is what we're having, and you just tell me, and I will talk to the chef. And I did that. And most of the time, people would share that they were diabetic. Well, I went to the event yesterday. I called in advance. It was at a church, and I called, and I spoke to the office woman at church, and I asked if I could request I asked what we were having for the dinner, and I asked if I could request a certain thing. Well, as it was, she did tell me, we're having this, 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 and this. And there were the three things, a protein, a safe starch, and plain vegetables, steamed vegetables. And I did say, any sugar, any sauces, any whatever. She said, nope, we're very aware of a lot of people. We have a lot of elder members of the church. I said, thank you very much. I had no problem. But for me, that's what I do. And I knew that it was okay to do that because of my career for many years. And so wherever I go, and I don't go to everything, but when I hear it's a buffet, or when I hear, even if it's a plated dinner, make that phone call, and all I have to do is tell the waiter when they come to my table, I have a special dinner, blah blah blah, and it works for me. It works for me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Fran R. Richard S., please share with us, followed by Annabelle Z.
Yeah, hello, Richard S., compulsive overeater. I have a year on the program, so it's like, I haven't run into a lot of situations where, I have to consider avoiding a place, but I do tend to eat just a little bit more when I go to a restaurant or I'm in a situation where I'm buying or paying for food for myself or others, or others are paying for food for myself. And, at home, I'm very good at my food plan. I got in with a nutritionist, and I know exactly pretty much what I'm going to eat, and no snacks in between. I've lost 60 pounds in the last year, and I've reached my goal weight, and I'm still rigorously putting myself through it with regard to, like, if I don't feel 100% comfortable with regard to whether I should eat more or not, I just don't eat. And it's not willpower. What it is just letting go and letting God. And but every time I run into it says here, as far as the rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking. Well, I just switch that to food. So as a rule, our rule is not to avoid a place where there is eating and or food. We have a legitimate reason for being there. This includes, I would consider bars, I would say restaurants, nightclubs, I would say buffets and so on. And, you know, experiences that it would be tempting providence, but it isn't, you know. So I need a little more time on the program in order to really get there with regard to following what I do at home and following what I do abroad, because it's like I attempt to want to still order these delicacies, or I don't want to trigger anybody, but order these areas of food available, because my addiction is still drumming up inside me. I'm really stable at home, but it seems like my addiction to food is going to a full bar instead of just having a certain amount of bottles of alcohol at home, which I don't drink anyway, but I'm just saying there's a larger variety, so it's like I don't eat out as much as I used to since I've been on the program, because I just don't want to tempt myself that much. But when I do eat out, it's not too bad. You know, it's not a hit or miss, but it's not too bad. I know I'm trying to make this as sound as simple as possible, but I still avoid some places with regard to eating. And but all in all, if I've reached my weight, goal weight, I must be doing something right, and that does include eating out. So, look, I appreciate you calling on me. Hopefully, I've said something that helps somebody, and thank you very much for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Richard S. We appreciate your share. Annabelle Z, please share with us, followed by Penny C, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z. I'm calling from the state of Washington, recovered compulsive overeater. And I just got back from an almost three-week vacation in Europe, and, you know, couldn't load up 3 weeks of food. You know, a part of that was at a house, and part of that was at restaurant, you know, hotels and restaurants, and part of that was on a cruise. And I had a legitimate reason for being on the trip, you know, family trip and friends and a family, another family that we were with. But the places I went to were my choice. It was the people that I was around that, you know, it was very difficult, because two of the people I was around in my family were drinkers. And not heavy drinkers, but drank. And I was, you know, I wasn't tempted. It's interesting. The food, though, was, I was more like just this constant being around alcohol. But the food, it's like I'm used to always being around food, right? I mean, we eat all the time. And so the food was not an issue. It was like I had my food and they had their food. And while initially there were a lot of, you know, you don't do dessert, right? And, you know, just kind of comments like that. It got to be where it just was never a question. And I figured out how to order so that I was eating what I needed to eat while they were eating what they wanted to eat. And it was a tempting providence to me. It's like, I don't know if I like that phrase, because providence to me is divine care. That's what it means. And my God cares for me always. So I don't tempt God. It's more like the enemy, the devil, my disease tempts me. And so I'm not tempting my God by saying, oh, I'm just going to show up at this place where there's a bunch of desserts and buffets and stuff. It's more like am I spiritually fit, and am I comfortable with my higher power to know he'll care for me and not make me feel bad, and I don't have to get into food to make me feel better. Just because it's there. So, I think I just literally say it's this program, you know, working the steps and having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps that has placed me in a position of neutrality and comfort with what I eat. I love my food, and I'm comfortable with what I eat, and I'm comfortable eating it in front of other people, or I should say not eating what they eat in front of other people. And I just, again, the thing that bothered me most was how much my family members drank. But it wasn't because I wanted to drink. I just wanted to feel safer, I guess. But it's not other people's responsibility to make me safe. So I gained my safety in my higher power. And that's all. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Annabelle Z from Washington. Penny C, please share with us, followed by Patricia R.
This is Penny C. Did you call on me?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area, and thank you for leading the meeting. I've been listening since 7 o'clock, and I've only heard maybe a couple of people refer to the word providence in this, in tempting God's providence. I guess because I was born and brought up in Providence, Rhode Island, that word is very familiar to me and means a lot to me. But in the sense of the way it's written here, the word providence, and it was named by Roger Williams for that reason, that its meaning is God's loving care and guidance of the universe, especially his people. And so Williams went to Rhode Island because he was banished from Massachusetts. He was a Puritan minister, but he believed in religious freedom. And that all occurs to me as I'm thinking about this word, that's what program's all about. We are not a religious group. We're a spiritual group. And I think most of us honor whatever deity one of us believes in. So the other thing, I was a little taken aback by the idea of tempting. But I know that before OA, I was like, let me see what I can get away with, not being. Concept of my higher powers. God is always with me and always wants the best for me. So I don't particularly subscribe to the idea of tempting God. I don't think my higher power can't be tempted. Maybe we can try, but I certainly know what it's like to see what I can get away with. And, you know, I can't get away with anything when God's watching me, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Penny C. from Massachusetts. Patricia R., please share with us. Star 1, Patricia.
Is it Patricia P.?
Oh, sure. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. Patricia P., please share with us.
Yeah, mine is about the tempting providence when it comes to church potlucks. I at first thought it was tempting providence because my thing is to go to the dessert table to get more than my share. But once I turned it over to my higher power, I didn't feel no more temptation there at all. I'd even go by the dessert table and was more like trying to go to a hot stove, and I'd just go away from it. And that's all because of my higher power taking over my life. And so that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater one day at a time. Thank you. That's all I have to share.
Well, thank you so much, Patricia P. And we do have time for another share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? There's someone else who'd like to share on this paragraph. Press star 1. May I be heard?
This is Melinda.
Oh, Melinda, go ahead. Please share with us.
Thank you so much. So I remember the first time that someone suggested to me that when I was going to a several-day conference.
And excuse me, Melinda. I'm sorry. Could we get your initial and where you're calling from, please?
Oh, so sorry. Last initial is H as in horse and from Virginia.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
And the first time that they suggested to me that I take all my food with me, and I remember just exclaiming, how can I do that? But you know, once I made up my mind that it was that important, that's what I did. I did, on several occasions, need to go to the grocery store for a few, you know, really perishable items that I could get instead of packing. But, you know, it's been worth it to me to even when going to restaurants with friends to bring my own food and not make any excuses for it. You know, I tell the wait staff that I'm on a doctor's plan, which is true, and that, you know, as long as the other person or persons are paying for a meal, I've never gotten any grief over bringing my own food. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Melinda H. from Virginia. And we do have time for about a minute and a half share if someone would like to take that. And if you haven't shared in the last few days.
Freya R.
Freya R., please
Janice
go ahead.
K.
And I'm sorry, Janice, but Freya R. is going to be sharing. Please come back tomorrow, Janice. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, Freya. Please share with us.
Thank you. My name is Freya R. from California, and I've just appreciated everybody's shares. And I, too, have packed up big igloos of food to the point, like on one camping trip where my sweet potatoes were kind of soggy at the end and I had to go to the camp store and buy yucky canned, you know, veggies. God only knows how long they'd been on those shelves. But I felt such victory in guarding my abstinence like that, letting go of food. It's okay, you know. It took time to get there. I just did that this past summer. But also that letting God help guard my heart with some of those interactions. It's a personal interaction then. That'll still tempt me to, you know, lose emotional sobriety, which will very quickly get into dangerous literal sobriety loss for me. So looking at that whole picture, I've just appreciated everybody's shares this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Freya R. from California, and to everyone who shared. We so appreciate each and every one of you. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, Dawn, good morning. It's Dana P., California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if you're on time. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.